And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, just covering down on some major ground across the Southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. This one, whew, I mean, goes like from Huntsville back over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden. I mean, all the way down to that loveliest little village on the plains we call Auburn. Straight across the border from there to what we call, once again, Fort Benning. Benning! And then big old patches in North Georgia and Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. And that's just the radio. That's just the radio footprint. Then there's all y'all out there in the whole wide world going to the World Wide Web and watching us live stream the show every day. Places like YouTube, X, Rumble, Facebook, and our website, rightsidemedia.org, where all our stuff is, rightsidemedia.org. And then a bunch of you podcasters, too, who pick it up after the fact. A ton of you, actually. So anyway, the bottom line is this. We know you're all out there. I pause at least three times during the show just to say, this is where everybody's at, and we love you, and we appreciate you, and we could not do this without you. So thank you very much. Jeff Rowe from Indiana says, I wonder if Lawn Chair Larry ever heard of ultralight or paragliders. At least you can control your flight with those, and you don't have to have a license. Yeah, but that didn't get rid of his 13-year-old dream, man. That was the thing. He had a 13-year-old kid's dream. I'm pretty sure, though, he should have recognized that was a 13-year-old's dream. Maybe you shouldn't have acted on it.
It's kind of like the movie Up, except, you know, instead of him, his whole house, it was just him. So, but still, yeah, kind of along.
You had the picture up there earlier when I was doing my, it's just sitting in a lawn chair.
Yeah.
Strapped to a wood frame or something. The whole thing was ill-fated from the start. I want to know, though, you know what, while we're chasing this rabbit, what were his mom and girlfriend thinking? Were they like trying to talk, don't do it, son, don't do it. I love you. You've got more in life.
Or maybe it's like, if we just let him do this, we'll finally shut up about it.
Yeah.
He's probably been talking about it since he was 13.
Or maybe they're saying, did you get the life insurance policy? I got it.
Yeah. You want to be cynical. Yeah.
Scott from Russellville says, great monologue as usual. I'd forgotten about Lawn Chair Larry. Thanks for bringing that up. You are welcome, sir. Brand new texter in the text lines, Mark from Huntsville. Mark, we're glad you're with us. He said, good, the dinosaurs actually have gone extinct because they were gay? I don't know. Perhaps that's possible. Watch NPR and find out. Mike from Harvest says, Phil, Sixth Amendment, is it all or nothing protection when testifying? I'm not sure what you're asking me, brother, and that sounds way off the mark.
I'm sure he's talking about the Biden, Biden administrator pleading the Fifth when it comes to his health.
Oh, is that what we're talking about? He says Sixth Amendment, but Fifth Amendment. Okay, if you're looking at Fifth Amendment, yeah, that was just earlier. The former Biden chief of staff is the third staffer to plead the Fifth in order to avoid self-incrimination. And you have to look at it and go, oh, really? Is there something to be concerned about here, sir? Well, I plead the Fifth. Well, now, that's interesting. Jack from Huntsville says, sorry, Colonel, I was watching Scotty shoot a 64 at the Open. Could you please take it from the top? There's a thing called podcasting, dude. You can play it after the fact. all right, we're gonna dive in here in just a minute and jump on into this stuff about the rescission bill that went through Congress last night. Y'all, this is a big deal. I mean, it really is. Hasn't been done since 1999. I mean, you're looking at over 26 years since anyone has done a rescission bill effectively, and that's amazing. That means Congress apparently has had no regrets, or at least no ability to act on regrets. So what are we talking about here? So the first dipper here is called rescission as a refund. Have you ever gone to the store and by the way, sometimes I'd just rather have the cash back, but you go to the store, you know, you get a gift or whatever, or you buy something. Now, me personally, I can just tell you there have been multiple times that I have bought a gift for my lovely Charlene, only to find out later on I didn't quite have it right, and it had to go back. And so going back, always keep the receipts, right? But then you go back and they say, okay, well, we'll be glad to take that back, but we'll put the credit back on your card. Well, it beats a store credit. I always hate the store credit thing. That's a trap. But putting it back on your card. All right, what that basically means is it's as if you didn't actually spend it. It just restores that amount to your credit balance. And the thing is no longer there. That's essentially what a rescission bill is. But there's some details. So yesterday, the Senate and the House finished up the first of what we believe will be several rescission bills. And the way a recession built, and by the way, keep in mind, we can look at this and go, why didn't they do more? They should have done more stuff. I wish they defunded this, that, and the other. Why didn't they do it? Stop. Here's the thing. Everything in D.C., shoot, everything in Montgomery, everything should have order and flow and regulations and rules. It should. Otherwise, it would be more chaos than what we see. The effective use of the rules is a huge piece of why things happen the way they do. And one of the rules is regarding a rescission bill. Once Congress passes an appropriation, once Congress uses the power of the purse to say, we're going to spend money on that, and they appropriate funds for that, whatever that may be. In this case, it may be PBS, right? Once they've appropriated the funds, it is now law that the funds have to be spent. That's the thing. The law has now been passed. An appropriation is an act of Congress, which means it now has to happen because that's the law of the land. The court can't stop it. The president can't stop it. They can ask for things to be changed. They can maybe flex a little bit on how it's applied. But the reality is, once it's been appropriated, it's a fiscal piece of law that has now been passed. Unless they do a rescission bill. And this is one of the only places where the executive branch can sort of get involved in the budget processes other than just discussion. The way it works is, if the president of the United States sees money that's been appropriated by a prior act of Congress that he or she believes should not be going forward, or sees no purpose in it, or agendas have changed or whatever, if they want it undone, then the president sends back what's known as I think the Impoundment Act of 1974 is where they put this in place. The president can request the rescission of previously authorized expenditures. By rules, Congress has to act on that within 45 days, otherwise the money gets spent. So, if you got something coming due, if you got a budget about to go into place, if you got an expenditure that's designated already and it's earmarked and it's about to get, the check's about to be written by Treasury, and the president sees that and goes, whoa, hey, just a minute. Hey, Congress, I'm sending over an official request for rescission on whatever. Within 45 days, Congress has to act. Today would have been day 45. So they got it done. Now, they had to get the big, beautiful bill done. And this rescission bill they just passed was $9.4 billion. Now, in the broad scheme, $9.4 billion is a drop in the bucket in D.C. We have massive appropriations capability. We have massive debt. $9.4 billion is not a huge, now for you, me, and you it would be, but it's not a massive tranche of money for D.C. This was a test run. So this was the initial run. And by the way, they also got to make sure it gets passed. If you send over something that is so controversial or so filled with other things or so many things all wrapped up in it, you run the risk of losing all of it because you can't possibly get it all across the line. So they sent back the first of what are believed to be a number of rescission bills that are going to be proposed. This was the test case. This was the one where they said, hey, if you can get this one through, fellas, we got more down the line. Got a piece here from The Guardian. Phil, did you go to The Guardian? I did. The Guardian. I hold it in my callous former paratrooper hands. Speaker Mike Johnson on Tuesday pleaded with the Senate to pass it as is because it was controversial. Democrats were freaking out. What do you mean you're taking $8 billion away from former USAID expenditures to foreign countries? You can't do that. Sure we can. What do you mean you're defunding $1 billion of NPR and PBS propaganda? You can't do that. Sure we can. They did. Speaker Mike Johnson, good for him, got it across the line. Sent it to the Senate. The Senate did do a little bit of tweaking, but they sent it back in such a way that it did not lose its vote count in the House, and the House got it done. So yeah, a total of $9 billion, including $1.1 billion that was slated for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting with NPR and PBS. $8 billion was meant for foreign assistance. So how controversial was it? Well, by all accounts, it was fairly controversial. That's why it's a big lift. That's why it's kind of a big deal. First of all, look at it. We just saw people in Congress actually take back spending. When have you seen that? Not since 1999 you haven't seen that. And even then, it was rare. President Bill Clinton was the last one that got handed one to sign. But yeah, there were actually four Republicans in the House and two in the Senate that opposed it. Think about how narrow our margins are. That was down to the wire. I believe it was the tie-breaking vote, once again, by J.D. Vance to get that across the line. Am I right in saying that, JP? I see you nodding your head.
You are.
Yeah.
But it was the usual Murkowski, Collins.
That's it. There's,
I can't remember who the other one was.
It was the, what should we call them? They're ERDs. That's R's and D's together.
Or Rhino. say, yeah. Which is probably pegging it too lightly. But
man, I'm saying. Yeah, Murkowski and Collins. They were complaining, apparently, that the White House didn't provide enough details about what the funding was that was to be canceled. Yes, they did. It's all in the bill. Everybody else saw it. Let's just be honest. Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins are about as tepid a version of Republicanism as ever had an R by its name. Ever.
Let's just call them a Maine Republican. I would say an Alaskan Republican. I feel like Alaska's fairly conservative, though. I don't think she... which one's from Alaska? Murkowski?
Murkowski.
I don't think she probably represents the conservatives or Republicans in Alaska, but... Collins, who I believe is from Maine, is yeah. I'd call her a simple Maine Republican.
She's absolutely purple herself.
Yes.
In a purple state. Murkowski, you're right, is a roughly conservative state, but somehow or another keeps getting through. Looking like a concentration camp victim as she does. It's awful. All right. So listen, that happened. We'll come back and talk about it in some more detail. What all was in it? What's next? Are we going to see more? I like the idea of taking it back. Take it all back. Well, it won't be all, but take some more back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, just making common sense like a superpower. All right, got a few text lines I'll get to real quick. Brand spanking new in the text line. We're glad to have you, Joe from Tennessee. Joe from Tennessee. He says, Lawn Chair Larry was glad he wasn't a Darwin Award winner. Actually, he was. So Lawn Chair Larry was given an honorary award by the Darwin Awards. And what did they call him? A near Darwin. They called him a near Darwin Award winner. So basically, he came really close to losing his life by being stupid. But they didn't have to give him the true Darwin Award. So that I found on the Wikipedia page early this morning when I was looking up some of the details. So, yeah, there you go. He actually was. He was like an honorary with the Darwins, which is crazy. Thomas Mathens says, yes, 0.1% of the annual budget rescission. Very good. Probably safer than never to happen line item veto. But maybe this is a small hole in the dike. By the way, I judge Mitt Romney as tepid as those two senators from Alaska and New Hampshire. That's a lot in one text, Thomas. Okay, all of it I agree with. Mitt Romney, whew, yeah, very, very tepid. But that's the whole point. You just said that. It's just like 0.1% of the budget. I get that. It absolutely is. Would you rather see them not do anything like Democrats have done for years and just let it roll on by? So I'm glad they actually took something back. And this is supposed to be the actual, like you said, a small hole in the dike. That's what this is supposed to be, is the first of a, you know, like basically Trump's administration was testing to see whether they could get it through. And when they did, they say they're going to be sending more. What do you got? You about to say something?
Well, I was just say, I agree. I think obviously very much for defunding them, but I think, I agree with Thomas from the sense of I hope the Republicans don't just take a victory lap of this and then stop. You know,
like, oh, no.
You know, and so we'll see. But I think it is important to remind them there's a lot more. You know, there's a lot more you can rescind.
So. It's actually not on them to ignore or to do nothing because these come from the president. So if the president requests it, then they have 45 days to respond, and they can choose not to respond, but they can't just ignore.
Yeah.
If that makes sense, choose not to respond. They could choose not to vote it through, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Thomas also said, plus congresspersons voting against rescissions provides fodder for campaign commercials. That's true. Cameron from Decatur says, I hope that I haven't missed your take on this, but I'm just now tuning in. What is your take on the Genius Act? I am not talking about the Genius Act. That's the one that just got signed into law about 30 minutes ago. Cameron, I have no take. I can tell you right now, I am not a crypto expert. So one day soon, maybe perhaps I will understand more about it, but that's off topic. Matt from Madison says, what are we saying?
He's calling Colin's a maniac. Get
a
it?
Maniac.
Yeah.
Can you give him like a womp womp or something? That's a great dad joke. All right, what all's in that $9 billion rescission bill, which, yeah, it's small in the big scheme of things, but at least it's a start. Where am I? I got this piece right here. Yeah, here's one statement I will follow up. News Nation had this piece that I pulled. Republicans view the bill as a critical, quote, test run for the party, as Trump administration officials have already indicated they aim to send over multiple special requests to Congress to claw back more funding if the first package passes. I think you're going to see a lot of that Green New Steel spending that gets clawed back. I think you're going to see, more being done to unwind some of the wokest type spending you saw during the Biden era. How about this one? This is more the same. Hang on a second. There was a piece of this article I've got here from Fox. That's right. Democrats tried multiple times through the process of getting this thing passed to try and derail it with Jeffrey Epstein amendments. Well, first of all, those are not germane to the topic. There's nothing germane about, we want to vote on Epstein. Because, they so wanted to vote on Epstein for the last 4 years when they had all the files in their possession. Thank you very much. That is so hollow. That is such political theater. But yeah, that didn't quite work out, and Republicans ignored them and went on because they know the kabuki theater that the Democrats pull every time is nothing. Republicans then, though, accused Democrats of hypocrisy, saying, interesting how they talk about Jeffrey Epstein when for 4 years they had those files in their hands. Like I said that, didn't I? Not a single Democrat that you're hearing tonight tried to get those files released. Trump will be signing the bill apparently today. We'll find out more about it. Now, here's one more piece on this, and then we'll switch gears when we come back from the break. But I'm looking at an article right now from NPR. Phil, did you go to NPR? I did. Pray tell, what do you think NPR's take would be on a bill that defunds them up to $1 billion? Would they like it? Would they be in favor of it?
I would guess they didn't like it.
You would guess correctly, sir. Kudos to you.
And they probably didn't like it in a very calm and soothing voice.
Oh, my gosh. What is it about NPR with the voices?
I don't know. I don't listen to it. I just hear that's the case.
Dale Jackson could never be an NPR guy.
No, he couldn't. No.
He would break their microphones over there. So NPR, in this article I've got in my hands dated yesterday, clawing back the foreign aid is tied to waste, fraud, and abuse, but where's the evidence? What? Are you kidding me with this? That's their take on it? So they knew they couldn't, they knew it would be seen as hypocrisy to touch the $1 billion funding piece for NPR and PBS. So they didn't go down that road. Good for them. They just chose a very artful argument on the other parts. Because if you can kill part of it, you can kill all of it, right? I mean, this is so hollow. But they literally began to attack whether or not there had been waste, fraud, and abuse in the USAID funding. Do you remember USAID? Remember that group that we had? Remember the big slush fund? Remember Doge going in there and going, why are we spending $20 million for Sesame Street in Iraq? Why are we spending $5 million for transgender affirming treatments in Sudan? Why are we spending, on and on and on and on? Nothing matched up with the reality of what is good for the United States. So when we get back, I'll tell you what NPR's take was on it, though, because it's rather self-serving. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two on a Friday. Oh yeah, the weekend's upon us, you guys. I'm finishing up this dipper on the rescission being a refund. And I made the analogy earlier, and I think it's a good one. I made the analogy earlier that a rescission bill, which is basically, it comes from the president as a request to do away with prior appropriations or, basically spending. And this is like returning an item to the store and they put the credit back on your card. It's as if the spending never happened. And that's what's going on right now. The rescission bill that went through last night is the first of we believe to be a number of others are going to come. This was the test run, $9 billion. Of that, roughly $8 billion was going to be for USAID functions that are now being stripped away, and $1 billion defunded PBS and NPR, which I'll talk about more in detail in a minute. But the most disingenuous article that I found was by NPR itself. Oh, it's a big one, too. Can you hear how thick it is? Doesn't even want to rattle. Like, it just thunks. Ka-thunk, ka-thunk. It's not even bound. It just sounds like it is. NPR. Phil, did you go to NPR? I did. NPR did an article, but they didn't do it on the NPR defunding piece because they knew that would be seen as even more hollow than the rest of it is. They chose to try and attack the idea that taking away $8 billion in USAID funding, well, you say it's for waste, fraud, and abuse, but where's the evidence? That's what they literally say. Where's the evidence? Do they not remember everything that DOGE was fought? Do they not remember, by the way, there are people who have already been indicted and one of which pled guilty to corruption out of USAID. The guy that had the Africa desk was laundering money for himself like crazy. And he's like tens of millions just gone. Just giving sole source no bid contracts and, you know, taking tickets to, you know, ball games and getting all kinds of, you know, perks and bennies from people to give them. It's not. Was there waste, fraud, and abuse? What kind of reporting is this? Well, they say that apparently there was a lot of the allegations are just politically motivated. Okay. Like, you know, back on March 10th when Rubio announced that 83% of the programs that they had gone through were going to be terminated because a thorough process had found that tens of billions had been spent in ways that did not serve the U.S. national interests. Where's the evidence, they say? You don't have to have an evidence-based decision on whether it serves the U.S. national interest. Waste, fraud, and abuse is when things are stolen, misappropriated, or abused. Not serving the national interest is in the judgment of the executive branch. When they look at it and go, yeah, you know, we're just not feeling the transgender surgeries in Moldavia. We just don't see that being, you know, a big deal for us right now. We're not really seeing the idea of subsidizing corn in Ukraine. Just don't feel it right now. That's serving the national interest. The officials who observed the reviews all said the administration and DOGE did only a surface-level search for keywords in the descriptions of thousands of programs, finding things like gender, family planning, climate, equality. Well, yeah. And then when they hit on one because it had a keyword in it, they went and looked at it. And they're like, okay, why are we funding grants for climate change studies on LGBTQ communities in Belize? Let's stop that. Nobody looked at the effectiveness of the program. It was just a question of political alignment, said one official telling NPR, who was to remain anonymous. Of course they did. I'm pretty sure they're out of a job right now. But we had, you know, any number of things that were talked about. NPR reached out to the Office of Management and Budget about the claims, wanting to know, is it true that we were spending $35 million to address vasectomies in Ethiopia? We're neutering a whole nation. Why is that okay?
I have no idea.
That's a lot of vasectomies.
Yeah, and I'm sure that they're going to do mental gymnastics as to why it's needed, but why do we have to pay for it?
Oh, wait. Hang on. Let me read it in more detail. It was $35 million to address vasectomy messaging frameworks and gender dynamics in Ethiopia. We are literally trying to get them to quit breeding in Ethiopia, please. Would you just quit? All you Ethiopians, stop breeding. Here, have a vasectomy on us. You over there, gender dynamics. Aren't you feeling fluid today? Maybe you won't be attracted to the opposite sex. You can't breed. This is nuts. This is cracking me up. NPR reached out to the OMB to talk about the claims about why they paid $800,000 for prostitution rings in Nepal. Where we're not letting them breed in Ethiopia, but we're promoting breeding in Nepal.
It's just, I, I can't connect the dots. I have no idea. Anytime you could say anything, and I'm like, oh yeah, I'm surprised that actually we're not sending more to them, apparently, because we send money to everybody for everything.
This whole article. This is the crap that we got with our tax dollars, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. We're the ones that paid for it.
We paid for this. This is the absolute crap reporting that we got with our tax dollars. Anyway, the bottom line is NPR and PBS were doing all they could to try and say, don't defund us. Here, look, it's bad. It would be bad if you I don't know, stop paying for vasectomies in Ethiopia. Don't you want to promote the prostitution ring in Nepal? Just on and on and on. Okay, here's the bottom line. They did the right thing last night. And I agree with, I saw a text come through. Where was it, JT? Yeah, JT from Lacey Springs says, pennies make dollars, billions make trillions. And that's true. That is true. I don't know how far they're going to get. I don't know what rescission bill is going to be next. I believe that there is more that can be done. There is so much overspending on things that don't relate to what I would call good government in D.C., for that matter, in Montgomery, or for that matter, in your city hall. But the reality is, you got to start somewhere. And I'm just so glad they did. What are you about to jump on? What you got?
I was going to say, the entitlement spending is where it all, that's the big one. And I don't know if anybody...
Third rail of politics, man.
And I'm not saying that people don't want to, but I wonder if people have... I guess they're pessimistic that entitlement spending, if you go touch that, if it's going to have any chance of getting passed or approved.
But that was part of what held up the big, beautiful bill, was because it had corrective action in place to curtail spending on Medicaid and Medicare.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It literally said, like, affirmatively, you states that are out there giving it to illegals, stop.
Yeah.
You states that aren't cleaning up your rolls and leaving dead people on it, stop. I mean, and the Democrats fought that because they said it was taking medical attention away from it. No, it didn't.
And several Republicans as well. So it's
Murkowski and Collins again?
Well, no, actually, they got some stuff promised to them, I think.
Oh, Tom Tillis.
Tillis was the main.
That's right.
So, but there were a lot more that, and I know Tim Perget on the House side was, when it came back to the House, he was even hesitant on voting for it because of the Medicaid issue. And then I think it was Josh Hawley in the Senate was so, like, hardcore conservatives were even like hesitant. And I think that it's like, okay, if it's hard for them to even get on board with it, then how hard is it going to be doing anything?
Was it hard for them to get on board with not having enough cuts or not having enough curtailing? No. Or was it hard for them to get on board? We're chasing another rabbit.
But Josh Hawley, who I think is from Missouri,
he specifically said
he was hesitant because of the Medicaid, Medicare cuts. And, you know, but my point is, like, if hardcore conservatives like him and Tim Burchett were even a little weary on that, it's like, okay, how much more can we even do if we're having to convince Tim Burchett and Josh Hawley to get on board?
He's like one of my favorites, right up there with John Kennedy from Louisiana. I just wait every time he goes to the microphone. I just wait to see what he's going to say.
And he's funny. He'll do those videos after he votes on something, and it's so authentic. He's like, he just seems so exhausted of, like, folks, it's a circus up here. But let me tell you what we try to do. Let me tell you what we're trying to do up here. It's like, talk to the common man. Thank you.
Real quick, last few, and I'll go to the break. Mark from Huntsville says, this is Mark from Huntsville. Thank you. He says, can we not get the information on the people who actually put these things into place in the first place and expose them, such as the porn in Ukraine? Well, here's what they did. They deferred. They did basically a delegation of their authority, which is not to say they were able to delegate their responsibility, because in the end, Congress is still responsible. But what they did was they said, USAID exists. Let's give USAID money. USAID, you now have authority to decide how best to use those funds based upon grant applications and things like that around the world. So basically, it was activists at USAID with the assistance of libs and weak Republicans in the Senate and House who had a slush fund. And they went and did what they went and did. Jeff from Indiana says, hey, Phil, I wonder how many of Hunter Biden's art buyers would like to claw back their money. And no doubt. And then Dana from Athens says, if it doesn't help the U.S. taxpayers, it shouldn't be a thing. All right, take me to a break, JP. That was a good one. Shouldn't be a thing. I agree with that. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.